Righteousness. God requires righteousness. I didn't make the rules. He requires it. You cannot get by with no less of what He requires tonight. Not only He requires righteousness, that means you think right, you do right, according to His word. But He also requires what? Faithfulness. He's been faithful to us, right? He has never failed us, forsake us. See? And He requires that we are what? We are singing a song. Sing with understanding. Don't sing just to hear yourself singing. I don't sing that word, so I don't want to hear myself singing. I want to please Him tonight. So, being faithful to God. Part of that is coming to church. Okay, I got a couple of amens. I am responsible to remind you what He says. In that day, you cannot point the finger at me. You never told me. You never remind me. You never warned me. In that day, you cannot point a point at me or a brother dog. Because I'm going to remind you what God says. You do whatever you need to do with that. That's what I am here to remind you. Thank you, musicians. Again, I guess that's our theme song for today. Amen. Righteousness, holiness, faithfulness. God requires those three things at least to start with this journey. Romans 12, 1 and 2, we read this morning. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present, offer your bodies. Abraham had to offer Isaac. We need to offer our body. He was a living sacrifice still. He wasn't dead, but he has to be dragged this carcass here, this body, this living thing, drag him over here and sacrifice him unto the Lord. He says, and your body is a living sacrifice, not a dead sacrifice. Holy, with your song, acceptable, you know, pleasing unto God, which is your reasonable service. So if we're doing that, we are doing our reasonable service. Forget about the rest. If you're doing that, you are doing the right things. You are doing the right action. You are righteous. And be not conformed, he says. Don't pattern yourself. You know, let the world think the way they want to think. I had nothing to do with the word. Let the denomination, let everybody even give you your ideas of what they think things are. You know, I don't care about nobody thinking. I care what He wants from me. I'm not trying to be insensitive or kind of brushing people away. No. You know what? I need to be acceptable, pleasing to Him. I have to shun all evil. I have to shun anything that becomes against His word. But we be transformed, see? Not conformed. Transformed by the renewing of your mind. Your mind has to go. All this journey, the whole journey, it is for you to lose your mind. That's it. If we can do that much, you know, we have done more than what you think. He says, and then, in order to God to prove to you, not to God, that you lost your mind and you took His mind, that you lost your thoughts, your thinking, your ambition, and took His, He will prove you, says, and that you may be proved. Not God, you need to prove that you are in the will of God. You need to have some evidence. We cannot walk in darkness trying to figure out, well, did I do good, bad, indifferent? No. You need to prove. And God will prove it to yourself. He will give you the evidence, the vindication that you are right. If you choose the right thoughts, He will vindicate His thoughts. He will vindicate His thoughts. And then you can say, wow, I am walking, you know, in the steps, in the right place. And be acceptable, pleasing to Him. Once you find out you're walking, you know, I'm talking, acting, you are like Him, then, and you are proven. Every day you're going to be proven. We don't like that part, but we're going to be proven because we need to be proven. How do I know if I'm not be? How will I have victory if I don't have no fight? Somebody has to challenge my faith so I can come up. So I rise up to that occasion, to the challenge. Then I can say, God is with me. Like David said, he helped me here with the lion, with this, with this, with this. And he will help me now. He didn't doubt it. And what happened? That is what happened. That was God's thought. God vindicated that God was with that man. God vindicates to you, give you evidence. If you are walking right and talking right and doing right and acting right, he will vindicate that your life is his life. So that you have confidence when you approach him. When you have confidence when something happens in your home, somebody needs healing, somebody needs that, problems. You have confidence that if he done it once, he will do it again. It says, acceptable and pleasing and perfect will of God. Amen. This is truly the only way to worship God in the spirit and truth, to be in his will. Out of his will, God will not accept anything. In his will, this is the true way for knowledge by God from the beginning, to be righteous. Let us pray. Father, we thank you. Tonight we ask you once again, Father, calm down. Fellowship with us in the cool of the evening, Father. And give us the words of life, Father. Give us what we have need of. You know what that is. And we're trusting in you, Father, that everything that is said and done in this place will bring you glory and honor in the name of Jesus. Father, we ask you all these things. Amen and amen. You can be seated. So, I look at the definition of righteousness in the lexicons. In the Greek and the Hebrew lexicon. And I think I put them on my... You got my notes there, brother? I don't know. Okay, so the first definition that I found, it says... I need you to see it because sometimes the way I pronounce my words, sometimes you get lost. Or the way I... Yeah, I don't talk like you, sorry. I have a special way to talk. I wire up way different than you guys are wired up. So that's why I need you to see it because you don't have it. There's one that this morning, I never used them. If you don't have it, you still have my stick. I never got it back, so find out who got my stick. Andy probably get, huh? Oh, somebody's going to pay for this. Who got my stick? Okay, confess now. Do you have it back there so I can do something else? Love you guys. Sometimes you need a little bit of pressure. Just to bring the good things. That's what God do to us. Don't you laugh about it. But if it is no pressure, how can you prove that you're any good? If you never had a chance to steal, how do you know you're honest? So you go to Walmart and they give you extra change. God is proving you. Pressure. Are you going to give it back or are you going to say, well, that's her problem. She, if you don't know how to count, she didn't need to be there. Maybe she had a problem that day. Her husband left her. I don't know. And you're going to take advantage of that? So who are you thinking? About you or about somebody else? Are we selfish or not? No, we're not. I talk weird, but I talk. I make my point. Anyway, I can bring it across. We got it. In a broad sense. You know, in a big stroke brush, you know, a brush that you paint. Him who is, as he what? Act to be. He says, act to be. Righteousness is the only condition, acceptable to God. No, that's what they said. I believe it. Yeah. Amen. He requires that from us. Now, he had to be unacceptable. It's what I want to key right here. When we think about we act to be, we think in the future. You know, our mind is kind of linear, you know, thinking, okay, that lady, that sister, that brother brought and used her testimony, he quoted her saying, her testimony was, I'm not what I used to be, but I'm not what I ought to be, or I want to be. My question is, where are you? Now, this is how you ought to be. So if you have a linear mind from I'm going from A to B, then when is that ought to be will be? When that becomes reality, I'm going to tell you, because that's what I'm here for. God told me, he says, we don't live in the past, and we don't live in the future. God is an ever-present God. In his timeline, we heard Brother Doug, his timeline is infinity. No end and no beginning. He's always an ever-present God. Now you and I, we are beings of a time. We have a beginning and we have an end. But God don't have a beginning or no end. And what is in my soul has no beginning and it has no end. Now, you have two timelines here, right? So, I like to live in God timelines anyway. In a time, so, you know. Well, if you can make sense of that one. But, listen. The future is not tomorrow. The future is today. Do you know you have another day tomorrow? There's no tomorrow. As far as I know, this is it. When are you at your best? There's no past. You know, Brother Branham, a dear friend of him was dying. He almost loved him as a father. And he went and asked him in his bed, when was you at your best? What was his answer? Why? There's no beginning and there's no end. There's no future. There's no past. All it is now. So if you are your best, it's when? That's where you have to be. So if you die tonight, you will be at your best. You're not looking for something more and something less. Tonight is your night. Now, Brother Brown says, you read your Bible and you pray every year, yesterday, tomorrow, when? And God will take care of all the things, right? He says, take you do the little things. And God take care of those things. You don't have to worry about yesterday and tomorrow. What do you have to worry about? God give us our daily, our monthly bread. No, it would be stale. And our daily. I would starve if I had to wait for a month to get fit. Give us our daily bread. Today, God is giving you what? Your daily bread. Today is the day acceptable to God. Not tomorrow, not yesterday. It is now how you act to be. If you die tonight, that is how you act to be. That is your best. Now, we got church. I don't know where everybody, but I'm glad you're here because this is what you're supposed to be. This is your best. A living sacrifice. I know it's a sacrifice to come to church. I did it. I had three children. I went to school. I went to church. I preached. And I went to work. And I took care of everything. And it was a sacrifice. That's what people start telling me, but I can't because this and that. I don't feel. You know, I've been there, done that. And I'm still here, and I never miss church. Well, I couldn't because I was the preacher or the song leader. So, but I wanted to. Never miss. It was a sacrifice. Nevertheless, I'm human just like you are. And I get pain and I suffer aches. In the morning I wake up, if I don't have no ache, I think I'm dead. Because my norm is, if something don't hurt, something is wrong. Because I'm always with some ache and I say, okay, I'm alive, I'm still feeling something. But if I wake up in the morning and I don't feel anything, I'm worried. And sometimes it happens, sometimes I wake up, Brother Dutch, like nothing hurts. Then I start worrying. Today is acceptable day. Today is the day. Today is your best day if you are doing what he wants you to do. So you ought to be is what you're doing right now. You're walking, you're talking, you're living sacrifice. I know worship, coming to church and worshiping is a sacrifice. Don't tell me it's not. I enjoy it, but it's a sacrifice because you have to fight the worst enemy. That's you. You got to get out of the flesh and come into heavenly places. That is a sacrifice. Because you have to forsake everything. Your thoughts, your mind, everything. And then move up. But once you're there, you're in an acceptable place. Anything can happen. See? It's a sacrifice. It's a sacrifice. This journey is no easy. It's not a picnic. In order for God to create that character, you have to sacrifice. So don't tell me I got too much things going in my life. I don't understand. If you haven't, then I will be worried, see? But I'm glad that God says, make yourself a living, you know, sacrifice. If this was something that I will enjoy, that I do, and it was no sacrifice on it, you will treat it way different. You know, you take children and you give them everything. You know, they don't care about anything. They don't respect anything. Why? Because they don't cost nothing to them. Then they leave and they become useless, irresponsible. Why? Because they're not accountable. They gave me everything and they will give me everything. So I don't have to do nothing. So there's no character. But when you have to work for something, when you have to make a sacrifice, then there's some character behind that. The way you act to be is right now. Not yesterday, not tomorrow, not this morning. We had a good time. That is gone. It is right now. Right now. Now let me, I don't want to scare anybody, but young people, anybody, you don't have the Holy Ghost, you're not acceptable. And then you say, I'm tearing for the Holy Ghost. What happened if the rapture happened today and you don't have the Holy Ghost? I don't know where you're going to go, but without the Holy Ghost. So what are you waiting to have the Holy Ghost? You're tearing for what? What happened if the rapture happened tomorrow? What happened if you die in an accident and you don't have the Holy Ghost? You know, when you get desperate, when you really want it, when you can tell God, God, you promised me, I did what you asked me to do mechanically, I got baptized, you will not break your promise that you said, you shall give me the Holy Ghost, and I want the Holy Ghost. You can have it. Because in the meantime, you Holy Ghostness, you don't have it. What happened if the rapture happened tonight then? I'm not trying to scare you. I'm just trying to make you think that right now you are at your best. Without the Holy Ghost, you are not at your best. Because Matthew 3:15 says, and Jesus told, you know, answer, and he says, John, let's suffer. You know, suffer me, baptize me, and let's become us to fulfill our righteousness. See? To fulfill our righteousness, first you have to be baptized in the name of Lord Jesus Christ. You have to have the Holy Ghost. And if you don't have the Holy Ghost, how can you fulfill all righteousness? You need the helper. You need the mentor to fulfill your righteousness. You cannot do it, but God will do it through you. So it says the way you act to be. Second, is the only acceptable position. That was the definition, your condition. The only condition acceptable to God. That is the only way. The Bible said, without faith, it's impossible to do what? To please. God will not accept you. See? Without faith. And righteousness is the action of your faith. See, faith needs some action. Righteousness is what you do. Because you have faith. And then you walk into it. Enoch, walk every step of the way. Every day. Listen, my friend, the manna fell once a day, and you cannot say for yesterday, and you cannot say for tomorrow. Why? This is daily fresh food. And is it good enough for today? Tomorrow, this is not good. Because tomorrow is another day. And tomorrow you should be best than yesterday. So today God is going to feed you exactly what you need for that day. And that day, you'll be acceptable. God is not accepting you for what you did yesterday. God is an ever-present God. He's looking at what you are right now. Present God, present now. So, yesterday was yesterday. The manna fell. Don't pick up any manna. Why? Because I will provide you what? Your daily bread. So that means that what I ate this morning was good. But I don't try to cavish on that. It's going to be rotten after a while, you know. If I try to just walk on that and that only tomorrow, and then, it's not going to last me. Why? That nutrients will be gone. In fact, they're already gone, what I ate this morning. It's sustaining me through the day. But tomorrow, I need to eat again. God will feed you your word. You read your word, Brother Van says. You read, you pray, and you walk like a Christian. You know, you act like it, you look like it, and God will take care of the rest. But see, that is God giving you your daily bread. So all we're doing tonight is eating of that manna that is fresh. It comes from heaven. What we're talking about tonight is not something that it was fabricated, stale, you know, a seminary, you know, that had worms on it. This is fresh. What I'm telling you tonight, it comes fresh from the throne of God. Because I cannot figure out these things. Because you ought to be, and today and right now, that's who you are. If you are walking in His word and you're walking in His will, that is the way you're supposed to be. What would you think about tomorrow? Worry how I'm gonna be tomorrow. You're not there yet. Wait until, you know, fulfill your righteousness today. Tomorrow will take care of Himself. Why you worry about yesterday? That is gone. Today is today. And God is not looking at what you did yesterday. You cannot enter in the kingdom of God. Say, but you know, 40 years ago I received the Holy Ghost. Good, thank you. What do you do today? This journey is a daily walk. The Bible says, take up your cross and follow me when? Every month? Once a week in church? He said, follow me when? Daily. This is a daily walk. This is not a tomorrow and yesterday. This is today walk. Today, it is your future. Tonight. Because whatever happened to you, this is it. Whatever stage you are, the Bible says over here. So, let me finish this up. So, he says, take up your cross. And what? And nail yourself in the cross. You have to die to your thought, to your thinking, to your desires. And you have to take Him. And if you are walking daily, nailing yourself to the cross, you know, killing this body, you know, keeping him down, then you are how you are to be. You're not waiting to be. You are. So if something happens that day, you're there. That is your best day. There's no other best day coming. That is your best day. Why? Because you're walking daily in His will, thinking His thought, speaking His word, and seeing the word coming to fruition. That is what God wants to. That is how God will accept you. And that is the only way God is pleased. God is righteous. There's no one righteous. We all were no good, lost, undone, in sin. As sheep, we wolves, carried away. But if we are righteous tonight, it is His righteousness. He took my robes, my filthy robes, and He gave me His robes of what? Of righteousness. That means my purpose, my life is to fulfill His righteousness here in earth, walking, talking, living, being what I ought to be, a son and a daughter of God, at work, at school, wherever you go, you have to shine. And if the Lord happened to come, I'm good. But what are they? Forget what you did yesterday. Yeah, forget what you're going to do tomorrow. It is what you're doing now. It's what you're doing now. That is the way you act to be. So when you start thinking about this thing, you know, I'm not what I used to, but I'm not what I want to. Okay, beautiful. That was her testimony because she understood that I am what I ought to be now and not tomorrow, not yesterday. Acceptable unto God. God requires. This is the only condition that God requires. This is the only condition that God will accept you. If you are walking in His will every day and anything happens, don't worry. You are already pleasing God that day. We want to please God daily. Not just Sunday, not just Wednesday. I want to please God in my walk. Every step that I take. Enoch took a step. Enoch wasn't worried about what was, in fact, he don't even know what was out there. Nobody knows. You don't know. You're a time being. You know, you got limits. You know, I don't know what the future is holding for me, but I know who holds my future. So every day, take a step, and that day be all you can be. All you ought to be. Be. God will tell you, read your Bible, pray, and just walk like a Christian. Don't make yourself odd. Just be a Christian. Be sweet. Be nice. You know, But what happened if I make a mistake? Then you ask God to forgive you as soon as possible, because you want to get up and you want to continue your work that day. This is what happens with us sometimes. With us. You get mad at somebody for whatever reason, I don't know, just pick one. Anyone is just as good as the other one. And then, when are you going to make amends with that person? How long? When somebody hurts you, how long are you going to go on and straighten these things out? Are you have a time limit? And if you have a time limit, I'd like to know, a month, 30 days, 90 days, a week? The longer you hold that man or that woman, and you bind them with that, that you should be taking care of. Something happened to that person and he died. You're binding that sin on that person. See? How long will you bind somebody? Thinking that, well, I got 30 days. How do you know you got 30 days? That's what Brother Van said. As soon as you do something wrong and you recognize it, get up and make it right. Because you don't want to have anything holding you back, anybody back, when that time will come. So we get mad at each other, we get hurt. The thing is to make things right as soon as possible. You know that you don't have tomorrow to do this? You think though, because you're human than me. And you know you're going to live through the night? What about the Lord comes tonight and you haven't made that right? I'm not trying to scare you, but it could happen. So the acceptable day is right now. Your perfect day and your best day is right now. So I warn you to take care of things right now. Because when you go to sleep, if anything happens, you are your best. You don't have nothing against you when you cross that line. So Enoch didn't know what the future, but he knew he walked. He walked, he knew who held the future, so he walked daily. The Holy Spirit was leading daily. Don't get in a hurry. Don't get in front of God and don't get behind. Just daily. Because that is the only day that you can be acceptable. Not tomorrow. Tomorrow is not here. How can you be acceptable to God? I know. Okay, I know. You know, before the foundation of the world, you know, I'm an eternity. Yeah. Listen, you still got to be proof. This is your walk. This is your proof. Walk. So you walk every day. Make sure you are in the will of God. You're thinking the thoughts of God. You're doing this. God is vindicating that you are walking. See, that is the thing about it. You don't have to guess whether I'm doing this right or wrong. If you are doing it right, God will vindicate it. If it's not, then I'll worry about it. So I walk. You know, walk. And then he walked towards that vision. You know, he had. You know, I am a son. I am. And he kept going. And one day, without even knowing, he had one more little step. And he stepped right into that vision. And he disappeared. I don't know how many days you need to walk. I don't know how many days I need to walk. One of these days, I will take my last step. Amen. By death, by rapture, but I will take my last step. And in that day, not yesterday, Lord, you know, Brother Brown says, he was dying in the bed after he shot himself. Well, he backfired. And the only best thing he could come up with, I had never committed adultery. Well, that was, but what are you doing today? It's today that God is interested. God already forget the back, the future. God is not interested in what happened yesterday. It was going on right now. So this is the way you act to be. It's the only condition that is acceptable to God. It is today, right now. And that's what God requires. Now, let me go to the second one. The second one, definition that I found was, we can jump a little bit ahead of there. The second one is integrity. Righteousness is integrity. You are honest. You're sincere. You're a good person. You like to help. You know, you're sweet. You are kind. You know, you have integrity. See? You have virtue. Yes. If you have righteousness and you're walking in God's will day by day by day, feeding on His Word and communing with God and do what He wants you to do, there's certain power that will come from you to help someone else. You know why we can help someone else? we are not walking right at that moment. I always tell God, I want to be in the right place, doing the right things, you know, fulfilling your word, because I don't know what's going to happen in that minute. Sometimes I get a phone call, you know, Kenny, call me, Tina. He's suffering with gallstones. Gallstone or what? Yeah, Kenny. I said Kenny. That's not always a Kenny stone, because you might just look at me like, what? Hey, you got to be right at that point. There's no time sometimes to be right. You have to be at your best at whatever moment you are going to be challenged. You know that? You don't want nothing to hold you back. Because someone needs a prayer. Someone needs some power. You know, someone needs a powerful prayer sometimes. And you better be in the right state of mind at that point. What is, I tell people, yeah, where are you from? I'm from the state of Maine. Oh, you're from Maine? No, state of Maine. That's my Irish accent. State of Maine. My state of mind. I call it the state of Maine. Okay. Because my state of mind is his mind. That's where I came from. That's where I'm going. That's where I belong, in the state of mind. His mind. That's where I came from. So when they ask me, where you from? Well, from the state of Maine. Your mind has to be set every day that you're going to walk, you're going to talk, you're going to do, you're going to be right, you're going to act right, you're going to do right. And if you're not, get down, get prayed up, and pray, God, lead me today to do the right things. Because you don't know at that moment. Listen, I just got a call from Juarez. 15 days ago, about 20 days ago, her brother, Sister Rebecca, brother, she's a Lupe. She's Lupe's daughter. She called me and she texted me actually. And she says, my brother-in-law, okay? He was in an accident. And all the children, they're all in the hospital in critical condition. One was 15 days ago, she died that day. 15 years old. She had a 12-year-old die last week, and 12 days after. And the boys is still in critical condition. I don't know if he had that yet. We just heard from Nebraska. This guy lost his daughter, lost his son in an airplane, and lost his wife. You never know when. You might think nothing will happen to you, and I'm glad when nothing happened to you. You need to be ready to face what is going to come. And the only way you can get that power to overcome is that there's something in you that will respond to the challenge. Virtue. This lady, she, in the Bible, this is the right time. Oh no, I'm looking at the wrong time. It is two times here, 8:54 and 7. Which one is going to be? This is a more, I don't know. I'll tell you in a minute what time is it. It is, you know, I have to put my glasses. Because I don't want to. Oh, it's 7. I told you. Somebody probably move it forward so I can get done it quickly. Listen, you don't ever know when you're going to face something. But you need to be at your best. Amen. That day. Forget about yesterday and what happened yesterday and the mistake you made yesterday. That day, when you got somebody, we call upon you to pray. And you have to be ready. At that point, there's no time to be ready. You got to walk ready. Purity. See, a holy life. Shunting away sin. Anything that has appearance of evil, just shunt it out. Don't even bother with. Rightness is to be righteous. Again, to be upright. You know, to walk the way God wants you to walk. Correctness. That was what I talked to you this morning. Correctness of thinking and feeling and what? And acting. I think you missed one for me, buddy. Number two. No, you missed, that's three. I know because I wrote the notes. Can you give me number two? That's the one I discussed this morning. It is the correctness, the way to think right, do right, and things will come out right. Now, give me the second one, because did I write it? If not, I will read it. The doctrine says concerning the way in which man may attain a state approved of God. And the only state is the state of man. That's what I got all that stuff because I thought I was going to that one. Then I look at that one. That's not the same one. A state approved. Now, Acts 2:22. O men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved. He was accepted of God among you by what? By miracles, wonders, and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourself also know. If you are walking right and you are doing right, the word of God, signs will follow you. Remember that. If you read your Bible, do you pray, and you are walking in His will, when the challenge comes, you don't have to worry because signs will what? Will follow you. People come to church and say, nothing's happening in the church. I don't see the wonders. I don't see the sign. You know, like I told you this morning, don't tell me that I'm took 2 hours to preach. Before you start pointing at my little twig in my eye, look at your beam in your eye. You came 20 minutes late when service already started. So if you're going to start, you know, pointing fingers, let's start this way. So, as I was saying, attain approval of God. So, God was approved. Jesus was approved. And the vindication that he was approved, it was what? The signs, the what? People come to church and say, but I don't see no signs. I'm looking for signs and wonders. There's nothing happening in church. And the first thing I said, the reason that nothing is happening in church is because there's nothing happening in your life anyway. Yeah, they come to church and they get bored. And they say, you know, the Bible says that the commandments of God are not boresome. I mean, they are life unto us. If you are bored with this life, it's because your life is boring. It's not our life. Because God is doing, God is moving, God is blessing. Today, God is healing. God has non-stop. His hand is not short yet. So when I hear people saying, well, I don't know, you know, there's not, well, yeah, I know. That tells me that there's nothing happening in your life. But you like to project that too. You know, misery likes company. So instead of saying, I'm miserable, you know what I say? Ah, this place is miserable. Why? Because, you know, it's more vindication to them if it's more than one. And they say, well, we. I say, we. Who are we? Can you name me the we's? No. The reason you don't see nothing is because you, if nothing is happening in your life. Because my life has seen the vindication of God in my life every day. Every day. I don't have to come to church to see the miracles and the sign following me. The sign and they follow me are there. I don't have to look for a brother. Se me escapó el nombre. Brother Blonky, anyway. Joel. I don't have to look for signs. If I do right, the sign will follow me. That's how I walk. That's how I know that I'm in the will of God, the acceptable will of God. Because when somebody challenges me, when somebody called up on me, I will do, I will pray, and God will take care of that. That is a vindication that I am, at least at that moment, I am doing what I'm supposed to be doing. Don't ask me about yesterday and the other day. But at that point, at that moment, that's my best. Because I'm fulfilling His righteousness. You are here to fulfill His righteousness, not yours. He took your clothes, filthy ones, and put it, and gave you His righteousness. And His righteousness is His word. You are addressing yourself today with His word. A state of approval. He says, and He was approved by signs. So if you are walking and acting and living like God wants you to live, signs has to follow. That's why people sometimes they come to church and they're bored with life and they're bored with church and at home is nothing happening. They need to look at their lives. Because in their life, I'm so excited about tomorrow. I know what God has done for me already right now. I like to look forward to what He's going to do tomorrow. I only have to do one thing. Be righteous. Fulfill His righteousness. Stay with the word. Read my word. Think about Him. Please Him. God will take care of the rest. Matthew 7:5 says, while he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed
them. And behold, a voice of the cloud which said, this is my beloved son in whom I am well. What? Oh, my Lord. I like to God to be pleased with me, don't you? I want God to say like Job. You know that guy Job down there? Well, not so much like that, but you know that guy Job down there? I am pleased with that guy. Satan said, well, yeah, of course. You're giving him everything he wants. You have it. You put a hedge. I cannot even touch him. Yeah, but you will not find a righteous man in earth than that guy. You can do only what you can do mechanically every day. Read your Bible, pray. Job will do his sacrifice. He will pray for his children. He will do exactly what God asked him to do. You only can do the mechanics. God will accept your sacrifice if you're in the right mind. The word. His word. Him and his mind. So, God, Satan is saying, yeah. Well, I'm going to show you. See, God's going to test you. I'm going to show you what I put in that boy. You know why he's the way it is? Because I saved them, I cleaned them, and I filled them with the Holy Ghost, and I lead them every day. See, but Satan said, yeah, okay, just let me add it. Just take the hedge off. And you know what the rest of the story was. He never cursed God. Even when the wife says, when did you curse and die? See, because Satan, if he cannot use anything, he used the one that are closest to you, the one that you love the most. Sometimes your own wife. But it's not your wife. See? Because your wife knows you more than anybody. So she takes her little pin. Sometimes when you get in all blown up with hot air and going up, she goes, you know, get back on this earth, you know. Get your foot down. I see you laughing now, sister. I don't want to embarrass you, but you've been kind of quiet lately. I meant to talk to you this morning. Yes, you. You know who I'm talking about. Wives are there to sometimes strain us out. Sometimes we get too high and mighty. Somebody has to kind of, hey, get down, buddy. You know, I know you are a heavenly bird, but right now we need to walk here. You know, we need to walk together. Let's come together. Let's agree. You know, that's what wives are giving. They're a helper to us. Get down. So you said, thank you, Lord. You know, sometimes you and your wife will not agree. Don't go to sleep and without fixing this thing. You don't know. You don't know. Don't let the sun set on you. What? Whatever you have to fix before you go to bed, even if it's your brother, then call them or your sister, call them. But don't go to sleep with something not settled and undone. It's not good because you don't know what's going to happen to you or to anybody else. And the Lord said unto him, Matthew 25:21, he says, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. You know, God is not going to burden you with a lot of things that you cannot do. I mean, he got given us, all of us, something. We got talents. We had gifts. God is not going to burden. God is not going to require something that you cannot produce. But God will give you something, and he will make an investment on you. All he wants you is to what? To be loyal and put that to work. Every day. So we know about these cases. But the last one, he says, but I know you was a what? You was a God of, let me see if I wrote it down. This is just an example that I wanted to reach you guys. I didn't write the whole thing because I was going to just, oh, here it is. Let me see. He says, and I was afraid. You cannot be afraid if you're going to walk with God. Afraid will paralyze you right away. Don't be afraid of the devil. Don't be afraid. Trust God. What he said, he will bring it to pass. Don't be afraid. It might take some time, but you stand your ground and you stand and you wait. Don't be afraid because you get paralyzed. Brother Brown says, afraid, that's what paralyzed the church. You cannot move when you're afraid. He says, but I was afraid and I went and hid my talent. Now, who is talking here? If this is what the Bible says, well, of course, that's the Bible is quoting the story, it's telling the story, but that's not the thought of God. The other two did well. They took what God gave and they invested, and they, when God came, they gave him a return for his investment. See, that's what God needs you. God gave you something. God gave you talent. God gave you gift, whatever, and God expecting something out of that life. Not just to walk. That this guy was afraid. He said, well, I know. But see, that whose thinking was that? The guy trying to reason things out. You cannot reason God. He says, hey, you know, he says, you is afraid the talent, so I hid the talent. The Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sow not, I gather where I have not. So thou art to therefore to have put your money to the exchangers. You know, this is really easy. If at least you took your money, put it in the bank, you will have some dividends. Maybe not a lot, but at least you would have done something. At least you would invest your life to come to church. At least you would invest your life. That is the easiest thing to do. Don't you agree with me? You get some dividends out of that. He says, put your money in the bank. It's not a lot. You will not have it in the market at the, in the internet, you know, playing the market where you can get 12% return. But even if you get a 3% return, at least you're doing something with your life. And that's what God wants you to do, something what he has given you to. And then he will lead you with that anyway. He will help you. He said, you are to therefore to have put your money to the exchangers, and then in my coming I should have received my own. Yeah, usury. See, if you are afraid that, you know, and you get locked up in your own mind that you cannot do something, at least take whatever you have and give it to somebody else, because that's what you do when you give it to the bank. If you're not going to work it, be smart enough to give it to somebody else to work it for you. Now, that's smart. You know, let them worry about it. See? Okay, but I don't know what to do. Just come to church. Make an investment. Because something good, it would happen sooner or later. And you don't have to work anything out. You sit there at least and stir at me. That's good enough for a Sunday. That's the least you can do, right? Come and stir at me. And just look like you understanding and smile every time I talk. At least do that much. But see, it's either he thought or God thoughts. So even his own thoughts was not good enough. God even had a better thought. You know, should have put somebody else to work your money. Now, Brother Brown says, it becomes us to fulfill all righteousness. This is a preaching. He says, what difference does it make whatever we got a nickel or a dime? Whatever we got something to eat or whatever we haven't, whatever we are living or dying. See? Now, but what Brown is saying, I know what he's saying, but it doesn't matter if you need a penny, brother. That's all your talent, one talent. Kenny has probably a quarter, a dollar, see? And I have another 10 cents. It doesn't matter. You know, in the kingdom of God, he gave some five, some a quarter, some a penny. It doesn't matter. And Brother Brown said, it doesn't matter if you're a nickel or you're a dime. Sure. Now, I know he's talking about work, being poor, you know, but I'm talking about, it doesn't matter how much. You know, stop. Please stop saying, well, I cannot do that like brother so and so. I wish you had this and I wish I had that. You know, you keep wishing. You know, you ain't going to get nowhere with wishing. What don't you take? Find out what you got and put it to work. I don't care if it's just one. You know what? The greeter, the Walmart greeter, no, but the Love Divine greeter. If that's all you can do, if that's all God puts you to, pray for somebody. What about, you know, a smile? Sometimes I walk to church and some of the sisters give me a nice smile and I say, thank you, sister. I just needed that smile. You know, because I'm always like this with my coffee, grumpy. And somebody smile and I smile and they say, thank you. You know, I need a smile. Every time you see me, smile at me. Because sometimes I'm frowning, but if you give me a smile, it reflects on me and I smile back at you. And I don't know why I'm smiling, but I'm smiling because you. If that's all you can do for me, you don't know how much you're doing for me. My wife will thank you for that. Every day. Yes. It says, God promised to be meek, humble. Be humble. See, be submissive. Shall inherit the earth. See, not the one that knows and have the most. It's just the humble. He said, it behooves us to be coming to us that we live like it, act like it, and fulfill what? All righteousness. God wants men and women who will stand and fulfill all righteousness. Of course, righteousness is His what? His word. That's what you're here tonight. God wants you to fulfill His word. He will give you the word, but He also brings it to pass. You have nothing to lose. You know? Nothing. I want to say one more thing, then I'm going to go way down to the end, and I'm done. I didn't say it this morning, but I'm going to say today. I need to give you the negative side of righteousness, because sometimes if I show you the negative, you understand the positive. Sure. Iniquity. What is iniquity? You define iniquity as something that you know that you ought to do, and we don't do. I ought to do, that's righteousness. But when I don't do it, it becomes what? Iniquity. So this is very serious thing. Because if we are not walking in His righteousness, we are walking in what? If we are disobeying, we are being, that's sinful. You know what iniquity is? It's the truth perverted. Righteousness perverted. That's all it is. I didn't want, you know, this morning I didn't want to get into that. And I mean, God didn't bring it to me, but that's fine. But I'll bring it tonight. That every time we out of the will of God, every time you take a thought of God, like I said this morning, simple thought, do not forsake your assembly. I don't know. Okay, you know what you're doing? You don't know what you're doing. Because if you knew, you would not do it. Because that's God's thoughts. And I want to fulfill His thoughts. See, but if I don't, what is left, Brother Dutch? Well, I should have had to do this, but that's what is left. And I don't accuse anybody. God forgive us. I mean, God forgive us all. But that's what iniquity is. It is righteousness perverted. Okay? Now, let me read you. Brother Brown said, the door inside the door. I thank you very much. You may be seated. I certainly deem this. Okay, I think I read you one this morning. I'm going to read you my last one. And I'm quitting. I got 5 minutes or whatever. It's almost 7:30. Come on. You can't get out that easy. It's only 7:30. Go to the end. Go to conclusions. Hear ye him. And we should not be just gating about, you know, going around, you know, what is nonchalant, you know, hey, I'm, you know, no. He says, about from place to place. Now, let me say something about this. You know, I don't understand this, and I'm not condemning anybody. I know what I know, and I do what I know. That's all I can do. You have a church that you have said to the pastor, Pastor, this is going to be my church, and you're going to be my pastor. I did that when I came over here. Did you? All of you did that. So, what happened when you're not here on a Sunday night or on a Wednesday, and you saw plain sales in another church? What that tells me? But that's kind of shaky. Because this is your place and this is your position. This is the problem that I think is a problem now. God is dealing with this congregation through this ministry. God is doing something because you belong to this. God put you here. And God is feeding you, giving you what you have need of through the ministry. I'm not saying that we are the only one, but I'm saying in this church, God is bringing us up slowly to maturity. And God knows what we need as a group, as a church. God is bringing us up, building us up. Now, when you go to another church, that church could be here or could be here. And then you might have a good time. But that's not what God wanted for you that day. You can feel good. I'm sure it was a good sermon. But what did He did for you? I believe that this is God's program. And this is what God wants you to be. Because God is doing something through the ministry that you decided to, you said, I want to belong to this assembly. I want you to be my pastor. And God is dealing to us as a group and as personal individuals, also as a group, as a church. And God is bringing us up together to what? To certain level maturity. See? So how do I know when I go to that church that that is the same thing I'm going to get? You will get something. Something maybe better, something less. But that day, that's not what God wanted for you. God wanted for you what you're receiving today. This is what God purposed in his heart before the foundation of the world. I don't care who is the preacher, but this is what God before saw. And you saw you sitting here. But what happened when this is God's thought, but this is your thought? I don't care how you can just justify your ways. This is your place. This is your position. Amen. This is where you should have to be when the church is open. Because this is what you said that God sent you. I didn't brought you here. Nobody pushed you. Nobody obligated you. You said, this is what God wants me to be. Amen. Then be loyal. At least to your own words. Amen. Not to mine. So I believe that God has for you what you had need today. This is what God wanted you to hear. This is not something that I made up for you. Because if I made it up, it wouldn't even work anyway. So when Brother Branham says over here, it just comes to mind, going from guiding from place to place. You know, if you're in town and you're not sick, this is where you need to be if you belong to this church. Yeah, you might get fed somewhere there, but you might get hamburgers when you can have a nice steak over here because we're serving a steak today. But you can go and have a hot dog and a hamburger. Yes, you will be full. You will be satisfied. But that is not what you needed to eat that day. What you need today is here because this is where God puts you here. So be faithful at least to that. If nothing else, put your money in the bank. In love divine bank. No, not my bank. And you should not be getting about from place to place. We should always go and consider the Lord before we go. See, before you do anything, Lord, I know I belong to Love Divine. I've been there. And I know he's my pastor. I profess him to be my pastor. Lord, do I go today? Well, you know the results of that prayer. Consider. I will consider the other way. Lord, could I go some other place? I know what the answer is going to be. No. But we don't want to hear a no. He says, before we go, do you do that when you leave home? How many pray before you leave the house? How many pray for your kiddies when they go to school? Before they go to school, you run them around, you pray for them. God keep them. God protect them. God watch over them while they're there. You know, the world is full of all kind of stuff. See, this is how you start your day. You start your day with God. And I know one thing. If you start with him, you end with him. He says, pray, Lord, help me to have a safe journey over where I am going and back, you know. Ordering my steps today. Oh, my Lord, that's all in the Bible. That is God's thought. God order my steps every day, but I'm going to go this way. God, you just let me know, guide me and lead me. And we sing all this stuff, but when it's time to decide what happened, where's God? You know, I don't need to be your Holy Ghost, and I'm not your Holy Ghost, but I know the fruit of the Holy Ghost because I know what the Word said, and I know what is supposed to happen. In my life, that's how God lived with me. See, the fruit of righteousness. See? Righteousness will bring fruits. Fruit is His Word. And if I believe this Word, how can I do something against the Word of God? God ordered my steps. To love divine, because that's what I want to go today. I'm praying this morning. This is what I need to be. Protect me, keep me, and take me. I didn't pray, take me someplace else. I don't want to go to love divine. You didn't want to go to love divine. Find a place you like, and then commit yourself and be faithful to that place. That's all. We're not condemning anybody. You see? Pray, Lord, consider. He said, help me to have a safe journey over where I'm going and back. Already my steps today, that I will not step out of your blessed one path. See, I want to do your will. I want to be pleasing to you. I never want to step away from that path. You know, step by step, daily, walking. That's what I want to do. Everything that I do, everything that I said, I want to be pleasing to you. He says, but I should make, if I should make wrong move, we all do that. But if we make a wrong choice, but we make a wrong thought decision, we think about something else. This is what Brother Brown says. You know, before you have a wrong decision, you have to have a right one. You cannot have a wrong without having a right. The reason you know it's a wrong decision because you already know what's right. So don't tell me that you didn't know or you don't know. The reason you made that wrong decision is because you know this is where you needed to be. Now you made another decision and you know it's wrong because you know what's right. God is not a God of confusion. If you're confused or I'm confused, that's because I am confused in my own thoughts. It says, but as you make any wrong, no, you will warn me. That is how we ought to be so sensitive to the Holy Ghost. This is a work that we are so sensitive that when we make the wrong move, Lord, should I go here? Lord, should I go there? Lord, should I work here? Lord, should I work there? Lord, should I get this boy? Should I get this? Lord. And then if you're sensitive enough and honest and sincere, integrity, God will not disappoint you. What happened? We are not sincere. We're not sincere with each other, with ourselves, so we make a move and we justify the move. He said, now, if I make a wrong move, warn me, not only warn me, Lord, but bring me back onto the right way. See, you have to have the right thought, do the right things, and you will go in the right way. So it's all right you make a mistake. You know, just get up and say, Lord, forgive me. But listen to me, and I say it again, you can never know what's wrong unless you know what's right. First, get that story in your mind. What is right? You know? Right is His word. If my tongue should start speaking things that was what? Every time you speak a thought that is not a thought of God, it's not right. I'm not talking about work. I'm an engineer. Yeah, I speak a lot of stuff at work. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about if you speak the wrong thought to a sister or a brother, they're going to get upset. Because that was a thought that did not come from God. But Brother Brown says, if you speak the wrong thoughts, he says, will you stop my what? My tongue from what? So before you have a wrong thought, God should stop you. You know, I'm going to get even. I'm just going to give Him a piece of my mind. You know, you don't want God to stop you. If you really love God, He's praying, He said, you want God to stop you before you even that thought becomes what? Once it becomes a word, you cannot take it back. Once it becomes a word, you have one chance, and one chance only, keep it short. Think about it before you speak something that is not God's word. Well, I'm going to tell her how I feel about it. I'm sure she didn't look at me that way, funny. I walked by there, she saw me, she turned her face. How do you know what she was in her mind? But I'm going to let her know, you better not. You better go and hug her and kiss her and say, I miss you. And that's it. See? It says, hold my tongue. You know that the Bible says, a man that can control his tongue is near what? Perfect. Most of the stuff that we get in problem is not what goes in. It's what comes out of our mouth. See? And the heart. Who can trust the heart? That's what it has to come from Him. And that's why I have to pray every day, Lord, if I'm going to say something wrong, help me. Shut my mouth. Now, this is the kicker here. She will have, thus said the Lord. And if it's not, she will do what? If you don't have something good to say, say nothing. If you don't have nothing good to say to the pastor or about your friend or about anybody, your brother, shut it. It's better for you to eat them than to have to pay for them. Eat your own words. Bite your tongue. Because later on, once the bullet goes out, brother, you cannot retrieve that bullet. It's gone. It's gone. Now you're going to have to make some doing to repair the situation. Hopefully, you can repair the situation. My tongue should start speaking things that was not right. And that's why we got in problem in church. our thoughts. Our thoughts gets me in trouble all the time. Will you just stop my tongue from speaking? Bring me back into the right one place. You know what the right place is? Being righteous. The right place is stand with God. See? That is the only place that we can stand. See? Every day, every morning. He says, and if you start thinking wrong, oh, here we go again. Brother Branham, I hope he stops. If he starts thinking the wrong what? Now, forget about the speaking part. Your thoughts speak louder than your actions. Now he says, if I have a wrong thought. Well, the only way you can know there's a wrong thought is because you know that it's the right one is available. Sure. Because not, that's ignorance. If I do something without knowing what's right, that's ignorance. But we're not living in ignorance any longer. There's no escape to claim that we are ignorant. Says you, bring me back to a right place and I should start thinking the wrong thoughts. Will you just change my way of thinking? If that's what you want tonight. That's the kind of church God wants. A healthy mind, a healthy body, a healthy everything. See, in order for be healthy, a body to be healthy, you have to entertain his thoughts. You have to speak his words. Because that is what keeps the body healthy. Because he will respond to his word. He says, what you think usually, he says, change my thinking. Let me think the right things. And the right things is the word of God. If you are not going to edify somebody, if you are not going to help anybody, just say, God bless you. Move on. Because anything after that is not needed. If you don't know anything else, what to say. He says, you think you should, he says, and you should start thinking wrong, so will you change my thinking? Let me be straight. What you think usually is what you do. Oh, did you get that? You know, will you put up, I don't have it here. Proverbs 23:7. What you think is what you do. That's what you're thinking has to be changed. Your body will line up with your thinking. If you don't want to do something wrong, don't think it. If you don't want to say something wrong, don't think it. Shut that away. Anything that comes against the word of God, as soon as you think it, if you think it too long, then you do what? You put action to it. For as they think in his heart, whatever you think tonight, that's what you will do. That's what you become. Eat and drink. He was talking about something else there, but this is what I wanted to show you. You are what you eat. You are what you think. So it behooves us to think his word so we can become his word. You know that the body will line up with your confession. But your confession is your thought. It starts as a thought, then it becomes a word, and then the body will line up with your confession. So think right and do right, and you will end up right. How simple that gets, huh? Rabbi said, usually, if you do right, that's your duty to God. See? So, an obligation to God is for you to think right. That's all. Because that's all you can do. To think his word. Now, he will do right for you. That is God's responsibility, obligation. But you think right, and God will be obligated to do what? To do right. What you think usually is what you do, you know. So if you said church is boring, then church is boring. If you said I cannot do it, you know what? You cannot. I will agree with you. You can't. Oh, I cannot live. Yes, you can't live this message. Because whatever you entertain, that's who you are. So out of your mouth, you will either live or what? The power is in your tongue. Decide and choose. Life or what? Death. My words are death. His word is life. And it will produce. The word is a seed and it will produce that he intended and he purposed in himself to produce. My words are death. As soon as it falls in the ground, they die. They cannot produce. He says, you know, if you all do right, that's your duty to God. If you think right, that's your duty to yourself. If you have God to come out right, see? So, think right. That's your obligation every day. Pray right, think right, talk right. God will take care of the rest. But that is your duty. So, don't entertain any thought that comes against the word of God. You cannot, says, you cannot be going east when you are going west. There's no way that I think a thought that comes from the throne of God and go wrong with it. There's no way. If we are wrong, it's because we are not thinking God's thoughts. God's thought cannot be, God is not a liar. God is not wrong. God is perfect. So if I speak His word, He has to watch over His word. See, God is good. If you think right, that's your duty. It says, you cannot be going wrong when you are going right. Or vice versa. That's right. And you'll be right. And Christ, the man of Christ, is to be in the church. That's the only thought that we want. And the man of God was in Christ. And how that the Spirit led Christ. So act His Spirit. See? So act to. This is act to be. His Spirit lead the church. And all that God was, He poured into Christ. And all that was in Christ, He poured into the church. So the church has to the power that Christ had. You have the power that Christ had. You want to live right? You have the power to live right. You want to do right? You have the power to do right. You want to shun evil? You have the power. There's no temptation that comes to you that will overtake you. And with that temptation, you will get the answer. There's power in you to live right. Now choose. Right or wrong. It is your choosing tonight. See, the Lord willing, Sunday says, Christ had the power that God had. He says, in that day, you will know that I am in the Father, that the Father is in me, I am in you, and you are in me. You will find out that God dwells in the church and in His people. Why? Because His word is being vindicated. That's the only way I know that God is working in my life, when His word is vindicated in my life. And He said, the Lord willing, Sunday, when I speak on that tomorrow night, how God dwells with His people, now we find that God does everything, or Christ, rather, every move that He made on earth has a meaning. Your life has a meaning. For God, your life counts. You know, people say, well, black counts, and your life counts. Your life has a meaning, and your life has a purpose. And what is that purpose? To fulfill His righteousness. You want to make Papa happy? You want to make Papa, you know, proud? You want to make Papa be pleased of you? Then do His will. That is His word. Papa is pleased when you come to church. If that's so. Papa is pleased when you take the talents, the gift, and you don't need to make me happy. That's what Brother Brown says. A church, if the pastor is happy, usually the congregation is happy, or the way around. He says, if the congregation is happy, the pastor is happy. I don't know, someone. But you know what? That's the only way you can make God happy. You know, I'm proud of my children. And every parent is proud of the children. Why? Because they turn out to be, you know, what you expected them to be. You train them. You correct them. You tell them what's right, what's wrong. You know, they are obedient to you. They're obedient to the word. They start raised. They're coming up in the church. You know, they love God. That is the only, you know, thing in my life. You know, that if I could live only one thing, I want to live that. It is to love God with all your heart, with all your mind, and with all your soul. Maybe I will not leave the money. I ain't got any anyway. I will not leave the money. Inheritance, I don't have anything. But the only legacy that I want to leave my kids is that they saw their dad, that he loved God with all his heart, with all his mind, with all his strength. And he walked, and he talks, and he acts, and he did everything that pleased who? Him. You don't need to please me. You don't need to please love divine. You don't need to please anybody, but you must please Him. And when you do that, we will please each other. Stand.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you once again for allowing us to have this Sunday school teaching. This is not something that we amen and glory and hallelujah, but it's something that we need. The Bible said that the teaching is what anchor. Teaching is what teach you what your position is. Teaching is what ground you in that word, Father. Of course, we need everything. But this morning, Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for your people. Thank you for the effort that they made, Father. The sacrifice that they made. Father, I know you keep track of things. Maybe we don't, but you keep track. And Father, you will reward your people. It's not pressuring anybody, pressing anybody. I know that this is dangerous time that we are living. The Bible said perilous time, dangerous time, Father. And this is the time that we need to seek God with all we have, Father. This is the time we have arrived. This is the time that we need to press in to hear the word of God by faith. It is not the time to go or be away from it. This is the time that we need to press, be persistent to come into church. I know that church don't save, but this is your program. It's not my program. Father, and I thank you for feeding us today, giving us your daily bread that we had need today. Today I feel good, I feel clean, I feel bright. Why? Because we are in your will. This is your thoughts, this is your thinking, this is your word, and no wonder we feel good. But we want to feel good tomorrow. We want to wake up and think and have our minds all in focus just in you, Father. Father, we want to walk, we want to talk, we want to do things that are pleasing to you, not to someone else, but to you, Father. Let our life be pleasing to you tomorrow until we meet again, Father. We love you and we thank you. Be with Brother Doug, Father. Keep him, protect him, give him a good time, Father. Rest and give him a good pray to get. Father, I just ask you to protect him from any evil, from any wrongdoing. Sometimes the devil likes to put some obstacles. Just keep him, Lord, and cover him, protect him. And anybody that is out sick or vacation or whatever, Father, we send your Holy Ghost, Father, to cover them, Father. Cover them tonight, Father, and keep them in your will. We ask you all these things in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. I want to sing that song, but as well as our theme, pleasing. I will be pleasing to him. I want you to remember those two things when you leave today. Righteousness, acceptable, pleasing to God. This is what God is pleased with. Pleasing. Okay, start me.
Pleasing.
Yes, that's what I want.
Let me be
pleasing.
Let
everything that I think, everything that I speak, everything that I do, be. Morning, that everything that I do that day,
let everything
that soon, yeah.